You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Oh. All right. Welcome to Bates Motel After Buzz After Show, episode number 3, Caleb. Yeah. We got a little can't hold us right there?
Yeah.
By
Malcolmore?
By Macklemore.
Or as San Filippo says it, Malcolmore.
Don't correct me in front of people.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right? Either way, we like the song.
Honest, your kid said that, right? Your little one said that,
I'm not going to put it on my stick. That's mean. Well, welcome to Bates Motel, episode 3, Caleb. I'm Joe Sanfilippo. I'm joined, as I would say, as always, but that's not true, as recently always, by the great, magnificent, munificent, phenomenal, currently conscious Nando Velasquez.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Yes, hello, everybody. Hi.
Also joined by the hopefully whose car is fixed.
Yes.
Dua Casey.
Yes, is fixed. I am here. We can continue.
All things are good. All right. We are not joined by Joseph Braswell. He is currently in the great city of Denver, in the great state of Colorado, debauching, I would imagine, an entire city populace. So if you're in Denver, give Joe a call. I'm sure he'll love to buy you a drink.
Did he go there to buy marijuana?
I'm not sure, but I would imagine that you've just earned Joe a trip for their TSA. Suddenly, Joe gets the special red star on his ticket, and he gets a cavity search.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, I love it. All right, so let's talk about this show. This is, as Joe Braswell would say, is a crackerjack episode in my estimation.
What does that mean? There's like a prize at the bottom?
If you dig deep, yeah, you got to dig around and you got to waste a lot of the crackerjacks because they fall out. But yeah, that's his way of saying it's a great episode.
Got it.
What did you think, Dua Casey?
You know what? I like the episode. I will say that there were a couple of moments in this episode that I felt were a little too soap opera-y. And we'll get into it. It was the very, very end reveal that I felt was just kind of revealed a little soap opera-y. And also the character of Zane. Is it Zane or Zach?
Zane.
He's kind of this, like, I don't think he's going to last very long. He's kind of this over-the-top, like, cliche mobster guy. There's something about him that really gets under my skin. And I don't normally say, you know, like, negative things about the show because I love the show. But there were a couple of things. Other than that, the episode was good. I loved Emma in this episode, too.
Oh,
she was good. Yeah, we'll get into that.
You know what? It's funny about a show like this because when you have such a high level of character work and the writing is so high level, when there is someone who's two-dimensional, it's glaring.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, which of these is not like the other?
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of like, oh.
And I can't tell if it's intentional because I would think that Carlton Cuse would know better than to make just like this cliche mobster guy that's taking over for Gil. Like there has got to be either they're like setting up to kill him real easy or, you know, or it's just weird. It's weird. Like he has no layers. Like everybody has all these layers. He's just there.
He's Pontiac GTO guy.
I don't think we've seen enough of him to really see layers. I disagree with you a little bit on Zane. I'm not saying I love him. If anything, he's a character you love to hate or you love to not like. I mean, even, you know, Reno is saying, oh, God, we got Zane. So they already set it up that this guy's going to be an a-hole. And that's pretty much what he's delivered. So I don't see him as a two-dimensional character per se, but definitely he is trying to emulate Scarface a bit, and he's all about revenge, and that's all we've seen of him so far, just two or three scenes. He pops in, causes a little bit of havoc, makes Dylan and Reno do things that they know they're going to regret, and then disappears.
You know, you got to think, that's a great point, you got to think that there's these guys who are involved in this kind of a burgeoning trade they don't come from old organized families. These are relatively new to the game guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they grew up on these movies. You're right. They got to be watching these movies like, you know, Godfather and Goodfellas and Scarface and going, all right, that's how you do it. Okay, good. All right,
I grew up in New York. So, you know, in Brooklyn, everybody in Brooklyn watches The Godfather and, you know, Goodfellas. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Especially that's how I walk. That's how I talk. Fantastic.
All the second generation Italians are like, yeah, that's the way it should be.
That's
the way it should be.
It is funny, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's a bizarre thing, but it's totally true. I thought this was a great episode. I really, 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 I love what they did with Emma. Like you said earlier, I think that I want to get into Emma a little bit later on. I think that this was her episode in a lot of ways. And then obviously Caleb and Dylan, the thing was written for them. So should we jump right into Caleb and Dylan?
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about it. What do you got?
I mean, first of all, the big reveal at the end, which I know you want to get into.
Let's get into it.
I mean, the big reveal at the end is, well, first of all, you know, before we even get into that, let's just say we all figured out, I didn't listen to the podcast last week, but I'm sure we all were figuring out, oh, if this is the brother, then this is the guy who had sex with Norma.
We talked about it last. We predicted that last season. Do you remember?
That he was going to come.
That he was also Dylan's
pop.
Yeah, I do believe that he did do that.
Yeah, remember, you were not there, but we talked about it in episode one of season two as well. But Braswell was asking, you know, do you think that, you know, Norma's brother is Norman's dad? But then we were thinking, and also you mentioned about the fact that it was Dylan that would explain all the animosity that Norma's had towards Dylan, that she never really accepts him as his son.
Yeah.
And then bam. There it is.
There we go. And we do see the resemblance between the two actors anyway. But it was just a really interesting... I would say that reveal, yeah, was a little bit soap opery. And for some reason, it surprised me. Even though we predicted it, it still surprised me. Does that make sense?
Here's why it felt soap opera. It's not soap opera. It's the movie Soap Dish. Do you remember the movie Soap Dish?
I love Soap
Dish. With Sally Field.
And Elizabeth Shue.
And Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
Vaguely.
Okay, who was the male lead?
Robert Downey Jr.
And who played opposite Sally Field, though? Oh, my brain is far. Anyway, they have a daughter together. Elizabeth Shue, it turns out, is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the last scene, when he's going to kiss her, that's the exact same scene. You can't kiss her. You can't ever kiss her. She's your daughter. That's right.
That's why this scene felt
soap opery.
The scene where Norman gets Dylan and he's on the ground and then she's like, no, he doesn't know better. It's his dad. And then, like, Dylan is on the ground but then looks up and he has this weird expression. I'm just waiting for that music, dun, 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 to, like, come and dun, and all these, like, quick close-up shots. It was a little bit. I love that Carlton Cuse does all of these, like, big reveals and has all these cliffhangers at the end of each episode because it makes you want to watch the next one so quickly. This was just a little bit too much. It's a little bit too cheese whiz on top.
Yeah. You felt there was some aerosol cheese?
Just a little bit.
All right. Let me toss this out there. Tell me what you think. Now, it seemed to me that Dylan, throughout this episode, needed something from Caleb. Like in the beginning, it's confrontational. You know, he's like, listen, man, I'm going to be here tomorrow, too, so you might as well just tell me what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, okay, I'm her brother. But from that moment, it seemed like he just wanted to soak up all the Caleb he could get.
Yeah.
You know, they meet in the street. I can't go fly fishing, although my grandfather was into fly fishing. That's cool. I've always wondered about that. I don't know these people. I don't have any contact with this side of the family. I want this.
Well, he's felt so disconnected from his family because Norma won't tell him anything. She kind of, you know, shuns him off as the bad son. And finally, he has a family member that he never even knew existed. Yeah, he really wants to soak up all of this information, and he's curious as to why. Like, the first thing that he sees is that interlude between Norma and Caleb. Just get out of here. Get out. She freaks out. And wouldn't you be curious?
Absolutely.
A long-lost uncle that you never knew about is now, you know, and then she won't talk about it. She won't discuss it. Like, that's only going to make somebody dig deeper.
Well, you know, I think it's anyway, yes, I agree with you. But the need, I think, what is interesting to me about the need is I got the vibe anyway that he felt like here was someone normal that I'm related to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Norma is batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. So this person does not seem crazy. And I'm related to this person.
Well, also he feels that Caleb is misunderstood. Here he comes, acting all nice. He's respectfully in the kitchen when Norma walks in.
And he seems like he's got that cool, mellow surfer thing happening.
And he's totally, there's no reason to suspect that he's doing anything wrong. And Norma freaks out, which what she does is what she does to Dylan. Every time he tries to make a decision, working in the weed business, whatever else, does the same thing. So they're already a kindred spirit right there. And he wants to know, he already sympathizes with him.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then, of course, he he doesn't really have a father figure. So, you know, ironically, he goes to the person who now seems to be really his father.
Cutting the chase,
and totally bonds with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, yes. And I think germane to that last scene, I think he had built up in his head, I imagine, all right, my mother's a little bit nuts. And so I know growing up, I always wanted to have a stable thing, like a stable lady tell me things that made sense. You know, that's a difficult thing to find. So you know, there's, I know that, I understand that urge that he has as a character to like, okay, someone's going to be normal in my family. My whole family's not crazy. It's just this one. So I'm okay. I'll be fine. I don't have to go nuts like this person.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when...
It's his shining hope.
Yes. And so when he's fighting on the floor with Norman, I think that defeat on his face is like, oh, even this is screwed up. Like, even this is totally screwed no matter what I do. Mm-hmm. Even when we find the brother, turns out he was raping my mother. Of course. Of course, my family is a complete disaster no matter what.
Why do you think he didn't believe him?
I think he wanted to believe there was somebody decent.
Or that's why he didn't believe her when she said that he was... Yeah. Raping.
That's what I think. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you build it up. You want to believe something's good. But I'll tell you what is good.
Nice.
I'm gonna tell you, see that?
A segue is
you
good.
Like that?
A segue would be good.
That was impressive. today is a good day. It is March 18th, and it's a very exciting day on the Oxygen Network because today is the premiere of Chasing Maria Menounos. This is a reality show starring our producer and the owner of AfterBuzz TV, Maria Menounos, and Kevin Undergaro. It is basically chasing her around, and this is a lady with an insane amount of energy, so this ought to be a pretty darn good show. Let's take a look.
Tuesdays on Oxygen.
I'm Maria Menounos, and my life can get a little crazy. I host Extra. I'm an actor, producer, dancer, wrestler, and a lot of other things.
I live with Kevin, my boyfriend of 15 years.
Do you really love me?
I would say that I'm in serious like.
And my parents. Yep. I just said I live with my parents.
You drive me crazy.
You drive me crazy.
My parents want us to get married.
You both love each other. Get married.
Kevin and I don't.
I am going to get married when I want to get married.
I think I want kids. Kevin definitely doesn't want them now.
This is being pushed on to us.
And of course, my parents wanted them yesterday.
This year, you got to have it.
And I have a house full of people counting on me financially.
If I take my eye off the ball, everything can fall apart.
It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or wants us to do. It's what we want to do.
Everyone thinks that they know what's best for me, but I'm really the only one.
I have got to figure things out.
Chasing Maria Menounos is so new. Every Tuesday at 10, 9 central, starting March 18th, only on Oxygen.
That show looks awesome. We got to hang out with Maria Menounos one time. I've only hung out with her one time. I think Nando's hung out with her several times.
Several times.
That woman has so much energy. I think we hung out one time for about maybe 10, 15 hours, and I think that ended at 4 in the morning, and I was completely burned out. And we came home, and we're watching a parade at my house, a rerun of a parade that started at like 8 in the morning, and Maria was hosting the parade.
Can I tell you?
Get out of here. She was hosting?
She went from the party to host a GD parade. I don't know how. I don't know how. Energy's insane.
I just want to bring this up. I haven't brought this up in any of the other shows that we pushed for this show, but just one of my best memories of Maria was hanging out with her in Barcelona, Spain.
You got to hang out in Barcelona?
In Barcelona with Maria and Kevin. So
that sounds like a great time.
Yeah, so you never know where they're going to end up or what's going on with
That's
them.
The truth.
That's the truth. So
like
just,
right now she's in New York.
Right now she's in New York just promoting the show and who knows where she'll be next week. And yeah, we don't even – she's our boss and we don't get to see her too often out here. We hear from her a lot but we don't get to see her as often because she's running all over the place between Extra and all her other gigs and wrestling for the WWE and
she works a lot and to be successful in this business you gotta move you gotta work you gotta and she's definitely dedicated.
She's doing a Bahamian's a man I got 14 jobs
totally. and now a reality show
there you go alright so check it out
you get to see Kevin Undergaro who's also our boss here and some of the other AfterBuzz crew
you'll get to see some of us I'm sure floating around not this us but other us's
and, you never know there might have been a camera
there
on
might have been a camera and her parents are hilarious.
Her parents are great.
Oh, they're so Greek. Like, your last name is Sanfilippo. Yeah. You're Greek. No, I'm Sicilian. You're Greek. Okay.
Yeah. So, don't argue. Just be Greek.
Just be Greek. So check out the show. I guarantee it'll be entertaining. All right. So I'm not finished with Caleb and Dylan. You guys feel?
No, I'm not finished with Caleb.
I don't feel quite done with them anyway. But that begging need that he has to have somebody in his life, and then of course it's shattered when we find out. Now, do you think he buys it right off the bat at the end there? Do you think he believes?
I think that there's a lot of concessions that he's willing to make, because when he was having a beer with Caleb and he revealed the real reason why he was here, he, you know, is in
Costa
Rica.
Which is also a very soap opera-y type of plot line there.
I've got money. I need... Essentially, what he was saying is, I had this opportunity, but under the surface, I was like, oh, he's just coming because he wants money. He raped her and now he wants money, but he's going to... So I thought Dylan would be like... I thought that's when you'd be like, oh, this guy is really just after money. But still, he gives him the money.
Yeah. He's so trusting.
And totally buys it.
But
like,
that shows the hole that is in this man's life, that he does not have a father figure. That's what it is. He is so wants to have, I mean, first of all, he's been trying to take control in his own way of the motel with his mom, trying to take ownership and take the adult alpha male responsibility. And he's been trying to, but she's been fighting him every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Now here comes this man who is related to Norma, and again, misunderstood, just like him, mm-hmm. and he sympathizes with him, and he so wants this bond so much, he's willing to give him $11,000, maybe $15,000
next
couple of weeks. I mean, chances are, working what he's doing, he probably makes that pretty easily. It's not like he's giving his life savings, but still, this shows what he's willing to pay to get this man in his life.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What did you think he felt? Not what he thought, but what do you think he felt after he gave Caleb the money? Is it looked to me like he felt like $1 million?
Yeah.
It looked like he felt terrific.
Of course.
Yeah.
It made him feel so good to be able to do something.
Don't forget that he actually gave Norma money an episode or two ago, and she wouldn't take it. Just for him staying there.
The family values, even it harkens back to with Bradley as well. Mm. It's like he wouldn't go near Bradley because he knew that it would hurt Norman. He really cares about his family.
Yeah.
And even
as illegal as what he's doing, I mean, it's a town business, I guess, but it still is illegal. He wants to be a provider.
Well,
and here he is providing right now for his uncle.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about the kind of things he has to do for this money. He has to sacrifice for this money, not necessarily personally as far as like his life. He hasn't had to give up. Well, that's not true. He's had to do and be a part of things he didn't want to do and be a part of.
And right now, he might be in the middle of a mob war,
exactly.
A family war.
He witnessed a murder. But I got to tell you, the first time, even in season one, the first time that he found this job before he knew what it was, and he put that gun in his hand in the woods, mm-hmm. and he finally felt like a man. I think that that's what this is all about. Like, where he was at the beginning of the show and where he is now, like, he's really come into his own. He's a man. And now he just needs somebody, you know, he needs a family, and he needs somebody to... you know, provide for.
It's interesting to see what Caleb, even as dysfunctional as this relationship is going to have to be, I feel like Caleb's going to give Dylan something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even if it's just guidance or a little bit of modeling.
How do you think Dylan is going to react now that he knows that Caleb, like, once he finds out that Caleb is actually his dad, like, next episode, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think he's going to let it go, or do you think he's going to kill the guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he can he can take two very different roads right here.
Mm. The previews, it didn't seem like he was going nuts. It seemed like he was like, you know, Caleb was saying in the previews, he's like, you know, it wasn't like that. That's not how it was.
Mm.
And it seemed like he was having a reasonable enough discussion to have that be said.
I think it'll still be, there's enough room for reason to take over as far as, you know, any rash actions right now. Norma's the rash one. Dylan has tried not being the rash one. Norma and Norman can be the rash ones.
And of course, it also asks the question, did Norma get raped in the first place? Was she even telling the truth? Because that could be another reveal. That could be, you know, all of this could be, because all she did was tell Norman this right before she was going to the prom.
So you think there's a possibility that Norma and Caleb were just having at it, brother and sister?
No, maybe it wasn't true at all.
Oh, maybe it's all fantasy.
Yeah, maybe Norma was just making it up.
Hmm. Oh, man.
Norma, it's interesting because you see kind of a different side with Norma this episode. You see her kind of have a friend this episode with...
Christine.
Let's
talk about that, yeah.
So this episode, I found that a little bit funny too, and maybe a little bit soap opera-y. When Norma was checking to see at the very, very beginning of the episode, she was checking to see if she made it into the play. And all of a sudden, Christine walks out, this lady that she doesn't even know, but mm-hmm. from the audition, who did the casting, and she apologizes and quits. She's like, I'm so sorry you didn't get in. It was such bullshit. I quit. what? That hardly seems real.
Well, I first thought that was a dream, actually. I thought Norma was dreaming. It's like, you really are good, but so good that people will quit their jobs over you because you couldn't get the part.
Yeah, and it goes back to how, like, you know, like, this was, town is really, really weird. Like, people are oddly attracted to Norman and oddly attracted to Norma. And it's just like, you know, that was bullshit. I'm going to quit my job. And now we're going to become best friends. And at 11 o'clock, you and I are going to go have a drink. Mm. Norma doesn't really know how to react to this. I don't think that she's had very many female friends in her past just by the way that she was reacting.
Well, there was a bit of a flirtation between the two of them. I kind of was wondering if there was something sexual going on between. Maybe it's the guy looking at this thing going, Vera Farmiga, this girl, okay, yeah. Or maybe not, but I just thought she was getting a little too chummy with her a little bit there.
You know, I don't know about all that, although I don't say it wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm not saying that. But what I find interesting, you know, when you take money out of the equation, it doesn't seem like Christine has any problems with money. And you kind of, you know, like, okay, you're a socialite. Your husband is clearly in charge of making the money. And as far as you know, you probably have lots of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, although it does seem to me like it's very much a hollow shell. I don't know if there's anything going on underneath. I have my suspicions that Philip and Christine might not have all the money they're pretending to have. But then if you're doing something, you know, if assuming that the money is real and she has all that money and she's in that position, then if you're doing something, you're doing it because you want to. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to direct the show. It's not like you need the $2,500 stipend that I'm sure that the community theater has come up with to pay the director, you know, mm-hmm. for all the hours and hours and hours you're going to put in. So if you don't need the money, then you only do it because you want to. And if you got somebody, you got Marge, the housewife, saying that no, it has to be Judy because she's my best friend. Well, you know what? Screw you people. I'm not playing. I'm not interested. And then you can do it on your own. And I'm probably going to pull my money out of it, too. And that'll be that.
Interesting. I have a different reason as to why that happened, and I'm going to save that for predictions.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely think that there's something else up her sleeve.
Up Christine's sleeve.
Yes. Somebody doesn't make a move like that unless they're trying to get close to somebody quickly. Somebody doesn't call and is like, hey, what are you doing today? You're coming to a garden party. You're going to see what the real people of Pine Ridge, Pine Grove, Pine Tree?
Pine saw? White pine?
White pine. You're going to see what the
pine
real...
Pine cone. It smells really good in here.
You're going to see what the real people of White Pine are like, you know, and it's just... And now she also has her brother, her brother Christian, who's played by Michael Vartan, who was on Alias for all of those Alias lovers and watchers. Did you used to watch Alias?
Nobody? I did not.
What?
I didn't.
Come on.
Did you?
Alias was great.
So good.
Yes.
Yeah, she kicks ass every episode.
Marissa. All right, Miss Serafini.
Our producer bumping in.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marissa Serafini.
What's up?
To scoff at my lack of Alias knowledge.
Maybe it was because you didn't introduce her at the beginning of the show.
Miss Serafini. It would be awesome if the entire time on YouTube, it's been a close-up of my nose. Like, that's how it's been.
Yeah. There's like one
left eye. The
producer
has all the power.
Right? That's it. And forget to introduce me again, pal. See what happens.
Yes. Yeah.
Marissa Serafini is the best producer in the universe.
She really is.
Ever.
Aw, stop.
She
no.
really is.
All right, can you zoom it out of my nose now?
Yes. And zooming out.
So wait, so you think, you just dove into this, so we got to finish diving into it. So you think there's an ulterior motive here.
Yes.
And you think that she's brought the brother into the ulterior motive.
Yes, I think that they have something to do with the drug ring, and this is all wrapped around something to do with Gil, something. Because if they have all that money and they're in White Pine, what are they in? They're in the weed business. They have to be. So maybe they maybe they work for Nick, because remember, Nick was at that party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he goes up to Norma
that
and
makes
he's
sense.
Like, and he's like, hey, I heard about what you did at the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so I think that it all harkens back to the meeting. And then they know that she wants the bypass closed down, something with Gil being dead. They want to use Norma for something. They're going to use her as a pawn. They're going to make it seem. I just think that there's something there. This is definitely something that we're going to.
Well, they do seem like they're wooing her in some kind of. I mean, you know, it's so funny because we just keep seeing the motel and we see Norman dressed the way he is and Norma and everyone just being a certain way. And then all of a sudden you put Norma into this beautiful mansion mm-hmm. where she gets to see, like you said, the real White Pine. And this is where you get to realize, yeah, that's right. Even though we haven't seen much of this, but there's apparently a booming weed industry, at least, or booming industry here. Yep. And now we get to see the upper class of mm-hmm. this town a little bit more.
And it's the motif is super modern. Like everything in Norma and Norman's world is classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the car is classic. The hotel is classic. Everything has a vintage feel to it. The clothing has a vintage feel. But all of a sudden, she's in an ultra-modern tri-level mansion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With all these cool people wearing ultra modern clothes, and, mm-hmm. and she looks a little, I don't want to say dowdy, that's not true.
She still looks great.
But you notice
it took her a while to pick the dress and to take a look, remember? Mm-hmm. And then Dylan walked in and she was a little shocked at that. But it took her a while to actually set this up, and she walks in, and everyone just looks like they woke up that way.
Yeah. Yeah,
everyone in there is just like, yes, we're always like this. We don't need an hour or two to prepare for our outfits. They're just put on us by
our
servants.
Casually fantastic.
Yes,
but she's, and you can tell she's also a little intimidated walking in there.
Yeah.
She's impressed. But within minutes, she's charming the socks off of everybody, and everybody's laughing at her Grand Canyon jokes, and she fits right in,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then she's giggling and eating desserts with Michael Vartan's character out on the. I just think that they're going to propose something, ask something, and I also think it's going to be in direct opposition with whatever it is Dylan is doing.
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
So.
Mm. All right.
There's a lot of things. I would love to be a fly in the wall of the writer's room. That's all I got to say.
I really like your idea better than my idea, because your idea, there's a lot more places to go. My idea, Christine just really likes her.
My idea is just, you know.
It's a little naive, maybe. A little surfacey.
My idea is the show just goes to Cinemax Friday night. That's about it. That's all my ideas.
But what's really funny is that I think that your idea, Sanfilippo, is actually also Norma's idea. I think that Norma actually thinks that this lady is just, she's not thinking, hey, what's up her sleeve?
And you're just as naive as Norma is.
Well, you know what
it
comes from? That comes from an ego thing. That's like, I am fantastic enough for these people just to like me. And that's cool.
Genuinely
fantastic enough for these people just to like me.
Oh, sorry. Mm.
Did I say the word wrong?
No, I'm sorry. No, yes, but that's okay. We'll move on.
Are you sure?
Malcolm Moore.
Yes, I was going to say, you said genuine instead of genuine. Does it matter?
Genuine's a rapper. Actually, you know, it's funny. Genuine actually is a rapper you can't say Macklemore right.
Genuinely?
Genuine.
Yes.
Can we move on?
Yes, I said that earlier.
I feel like we're getting bogged down. I'm genuinely confused. All right. So let's talk about Norman here. Norman gets a little hand on his leg today. We learned stuff about Norman.
That was fun.
Norman is most definitely not gay, at least so far. He seems very vehemently against that idea.
If he blacked out, who knows what would happen in that situation?
Yeah, we don't know. Don't put your hand on his leg.
Don't put your hand on his leg and have him black out on you.
All bad.
Yes. Very, very, very bad.
Mother, I've done something.
I don't know what.
Let's talk about Norman and Cody.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Cody is the girl from the checkout.
Yes, Cody is the girl from the checkout. From last week.
He bought all the stuff for mom.
Yes, stuff for mom that was really for Bradley.
The dying breed type.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's now all of a sudden, this is a small town. All of a sudden, she's popping up everywhere. So she is showing up like crazy. So she's over when he's going to quit the community theater play because his mom's not in it. He doesn't want to do it. All of a sudden, he bumps into her and she somehow convinces him to join Tech. He's getting a little enamored with her right then and there. And then he goes to the memorial for Bradley that Emma so graciously set up, and we hear some Malcolm Moore when we walk in. Because that's what you hear at a... You were probably DJing that. You're like, what do these kids want at a memorial? Malcolm Moore.
Man.
We walk in, and again...
I don't know why you're angry at me. I didn't do anything to you. I gave you nothing but love.
But I love this because while we have Norma walking into this beautiful mansion that's so not her style, we see Norman pretty much going into a situation expecting to see a lot of... I mean, we kind of presumed that Bradley was a very popular girl in school,
mm-hmm.
From the first season at least, even though she got a little crazy this season beforehand. We thought she was very popular, so we figured it'd be... I mean, Emma's busy setting up this memorial, and we go in, everyone's just doing a kegger, you know, hanging out. It was blasting music.
Very Heathers, wasn't it? She's dead. We can do some keg stands or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Emma, I mean, we can touch on Emma later, but then we see Corey with Philip, I believe the name of the
guy.
Cody with Philip?
Cody with the boyfriend was Philip. Yeah,
the boyfriend
so.
Was Philip. That's what I meant. So we see Cody with Philip. So there's that little bit of dejection that you see Norman have about, she's with a guy. Even though he's looking really oddly at her, till the whole hand on the knee thing.
Yeah.
And
I like that he's just sitting next to them while they're making out, like, doo doo doo.
Yeah.
That's such a teenage kegger kind of thing.
Again, it's like Norman looks so different. I'm really glad the one thing that she does that no one else has really done in this town is she calls Norman out for his appearance and his looks and pretty much says, I thought you were gay. You kind of dress really odd and you're really different. And yeah, you come off. You're giving a major gay vibe.
Like, what's your deal, man?
Which, you know, just you're incredibly, she's just pointing out that you're incredibly different. You don't really belong in this world. And that was the only, for some reason, that was the only direction she, that made sense to her, that he was perhaps, you know, just oddly around girls because he was gay.
So maybe I'll just get Philip to put his hand on your thigh with apparently some violence. Like, it didn't come right off.
It was a,
I mean, like, I don't know, you know, but it wasn't like he just, like, lightly put it on there. He was like, And I was like, no. And he's like, double down, boom. Like, but I'm at your leg.
It's like that he was, I like that he was still polite about it. He was like, what's that? And he takes it off and then it goes again and he's like, he gets up really quickly and he goes, I'm going to go. He's like, still polite about it. It's not like, what the hell, man? And it's like,
But kudos to Cody for calling out Norman, for at least somebody. I think anybody who calls them out for what they are in this world really is going to draw a lot of fans. I'm already a big fan of hers. The actress who plays her is Paloma, and I will not say this last name right, Kitlowski. I'm just totally butchered that. She's Canadian.
Is that Greek? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's not
it's Greek.
It's Greek. It's Greek.
At the end, no,
you're
I don't
Polish,
think so.
But the Polish people come from Greek. You're Greek.
I don't think so. But not only does she call out Norman for being odd and being different, she also says, oh, yeah, there's never a bad time to make. You can always make out. There's always the line about
there's
making
always,
out.
There was always a good reason to make out. I actually wrote that down as the quote of the day.
Yeah. So but there's always a good reason to make out.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there's always a good reason. Dua, there's always a good reason to make out, Dua.
We'll just cut over to me. We'll just let them experience good reasons. What I thought was interesting, one of the things I thought was interesting about Cody is she walks back home with Norman, but she seemed a little tweaked out about her house. Like, he gets her there, and he's not invited in, and the window's open. That's how she's going to get into the house, and Dad's there. Mom's, it's just me and Dad, and nice to see you. I can get back in.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to sneak out? No, I can go out. Okay.
Yeah, the music kind of like changed when that happened.
That was a weird
too.
Little scene too.
It was a little weird scene.
Wait a minute. Did I miss this scene? Was this the scene at the end of the party?
This was the scene after he walked her home, when he got her to her house, and there was a wooden light on.
I totally missed that.
You were still
scene.
Stuck well, on let the makeout line. You were busy writing down meticulously.
Then it's always okay.
Yeah. It's always okay to make out.
That's a great line.
It's a great line, and you missed that whole bit.
Are other things going to happen in the show? I hope not.
Just the making out part.
It took me a long time to write that line.
All right, I want to talk before we wrap this all up. I want to talk about Emma, because I think this was Emma's episode, and I don't think she's getting enough love from us right now.
Mm.
This whole idea, this beach party was Emma's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a gal who we know is staring death in the face every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the most popular nemesis, essentially, you know, and you know, Bradley had no idea that she was Emma's nemesis, but she was,
yeah.
You know, is dead. And she's the only one who seems to give a shit. Everybody else is yep. heathering it up. You know, they don't care.
Emma had a great line, too. Do you know which line I'm talking about?
I don't know which one you're talking
when
about.
When she's standing in front of the altar and she was like, because I'm a bad person because she's dead and I still hate her.
I still hate her.
That was sad.
I think she might have said, I still don't like her. But it was very, very honest, genuine moment. And Emmett plays such an adorable little drunk, doesn't she?
Mm, oh, my God. It was such a great scene, her
she's,
being drunk.
Yeah, she's such
with,
a cute little drunk.
With a weed salesman. Weed guy. I don't know. I think his name was Gunner, but I'm not sure.
He's been in other things.
Cupcake boy.
Yeah. I got to tell you, there's no matter how cute you are, when you start puking, you
not
stop
cute.
Being cute. That's just how that works. Okay. girls, I'm letting
Hold
you know.
On. I'm going to write this down.
Write it down. It's important.
I will say, for someone bringing an oxygen tank around with her and still having the apparatus hooked up, she gets to do a lot. She really does get to do a lot. She was like running around a little bit on that beach.
She was like
trailing that thing. That thing's like bouncing like off balance and
with the sand.
Yeah, with the sand and everything. Yeah, I wouldn't expect someone to be doing that on the beach.
What I thought was interesting about her in this deal with Cupcake Boy, whose name I honestly don't remember, it had it
on IMDb. I'll pull it up.
It's just how.
Oh, by the way, Kevin Klein.
Kevin, thank you. Gosh, it was making me nuts.
Sorry,
Kevin
people.
Klein.
I just had
25 minutes later. Thank you.
Yeah.
She needs to make these bad decisions, and everybody else. You know, everybody else feels indestructible. I think that's part and parcel to being a teenager. And so when you're indestructible, you make the bad decisions. But when you know how fragile you are, I would imagine, you know, that the temptation is to live smaller and be closer and tighter and not make the bad decisions.
Yeah.
And so it seems like at this point she's kind of realizing, like, I haven't got that much time left. I got to make some bad decisions. I got to be crazy.
She's been making good decisions with Norman, and look where that's gotten her.
That's a fair point.
Second place with Bradley. That's gonna be second place right now.
To Cody.
To Cody. So
that was rough.
That's rough.
She's like, hey, Cupcake Boy, let's make some bad decisions.
Yeah.
And he's accommodating.
I love that line. Hey, Cupcake Boy, let's make some bad decisions.
But when she was like, do you want to make some bad decisions with me? Like, as a teenage boy, like, what are you going to say to that? Of course, oxygen tank or not. That was very...
There's always a reason to make out, even with oxygen girl. There's always a reason
Oh, I love it. All right, we didn't have as much time for this as we would like, but let's talk about news and gossip. We got some news and gossip, people?
I believe we do.
And we don't have a drop for it, so let's move on.
Right. We're surprised. We can move on.
Oh, there it is.
And ladies and gentlemen, back on your nose.
That's
I was just about to say.
That's Marissa Serafini.
Don't you forget who's in control here.
That's my fault.
So I just have some small things. You know, this was the top rated episode of the season so far.
Yeah.
I know it's only episode 3, but it was rated 9.1 on IMDb. The fans are really responding to this season, really loving it. Bates Motel has an amazing following. It's doing really, really well. I just want to talk for a minute about, I read a couple of reviews, and if I can find it here, the first one was, from Ed Blackadder, I'm going to say that wrong, from Influx Magazine. It wasn't a very good review. It was just kind of cookie cutter, and you can kind of tell the people that are writing these reviews are not fans. They're not really fans of the show at all. I feel like, Michael Stullman, who wrote for All That Epic, wrote a review about Bradley, and he really kind of just tore her apart, and he said that last episode she did the best thing that she's ever done on the show, which is left the show. Which I just feel like, I mean, I feel like coming from what she was doing before, what's the actress's name?
I have to pull it up. It's Nicola Pence.
I feel like she played this role so well. And she had to go to those places that might have been a little bit annoying, and I think that if she got under our skin, it was only because that's what her character was meant to do. So I just find it a little bit, you know, as somebody that really is a fan of the show, I find it a little bit cheap and disheartening that there are all these kind of bad reviews. But, you know, with anything good, there's always going to be that, you know, that bad
press.
Well,
let me just say, with all due respect, screw them.
There you are. Well, is Bradley coming back or is she gone for the show?
I would imagine
she'll come back.
Yeah.
I have a feeling she'll come back. But I don't know. I haven't looked ahead.
Norman's got a killer in room 4. That's got to happen. Otherwise, this whole thing can't start.
Otherwise, your prediction from episode 1 won't come true.
I will not be denied.
So I was doing this. I've got a running death toll. All right. And people can rate.
That's things she does for fun.
People can rate and comment.
You do it your way, she'll do it hers.
And tell me what I'm missing. But this so far is the running death toll of Bates Motel, hopefully in chronological order.
Go.
All right. 1, Norman's dad. 2, Keith Summers.
Got it.
All right. 3, Deputy Shelby.
Okay.
All right. 4, maybe the sex slave. We don't know yet. Is the sex slave dead?
One of you guys was thinking she's still alive, but at this point, she's dead.
You're in North Hollywood. You can find her.
5. 5.
Just Google her. Just Google her. That's what I'm saying. Just GPS.
If Braswell was here, he would pull out the book right now, is what he would do.
Just Google her.
He'd be like, check out this book. 5, Bradley's dad. 6, Miss Watson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
7, Gil.
Mm-hmm.
8, the guy that killed Johnny.
Johnny
died because Zane killed him.
Family, yes.
Yes, from yesterday. And then this episode, Paco and Tony died. Which are just the two random guys in the shed.
And we got a blonde dude from last year I think we missed.
I think Paco's a great name for a random
Mr.
guy.
I don't remember his name, but Cadillac.
The guy in room number 9.
Yeah, so we at number 11. Are we 11 right now?
I think so.
Okay, so 11 or 12.
Did we include the guy that got run over by Dylan? 9. Did we include the guy that got run over
by
Dylan?
No. Ooh,
13.
Yeah.
Your count is terrible.
Hold on. Wait a minute. 13. So if anybody else can of anybody that has been killed.
That we missed.
Was that the guy that didn't Dylan run over? All right.
If we missed
Emerson,
it,
Mr. Emerson.
If we missed anything, tell us on the interwebs. We want to thank you guys for downloading on iTunes and listening to us on
Can you tell we're running low on time?
On iTunes. And if you are on iTunes and you would like to rate us, we love being rated, and we love being rated a certain number, maybe.
Fives.
Fives. Fives are great. Anyway, if you rate us, that's how your friends find us, so thank you so much.
He sounds like an auctioneer.
I am. I'm going to go now. Stop interrupting. So if you are watching, listening on iTunes and you want to check us out, go ahead and check us out on YouTube. That is the easiest way. If you guys have comments, we can go back and forth a lot quicker, a lot easier on the YouTubes. Shall we step into predictions?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Do what Casey, what do you got for us?
I'm just going to recap on what I said before. And what I said before was that I think that Catherine, Caitlin, Carmine, what's her name?
Christine. Carmine.
Has something up her sleeve, and she's definitely involved with Nick, and there's something going on. Go, Nando.
My prediction, Bradley comes back. Eventually.
Your prediction's garbage. All right.
I'm doing it fast.
Yeah, I know. I know all about you. All right. My prediction is that Caleb and Dylan are going to actually come to some sort of an accord, and that is going to be Dylan's out of town eventually. Hopefully not this season, because I really like Dylan. All right. Nando Velasquez, where can we find you?
Dylan's not leaving.
It's a prediction. It doesn't have to be true.
Leaving. I'm just saying. Well, your prediction's crap. You can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L, and here on other shows with Sanfilippo for The Following and Hannibal and Blacklist and Walking Dead without him.
He's going to name all the shows. It's going to take another 10 minutes.
Dua Casey, where can we find you?
Dua Casey on Twitter. Done.
Mic drop. Good night, Wisconsin. All right, I'm Joe Filippo. You can find me on the Twitters at JOEFLIPO, and my website is josephsanfilippo.com. It was a pleasure taking care of you guys tonight. We will see you next week.
And Braswell.
Oh, Joe Braswell, JoeKBraswell.com.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.